Well, aren't you glad you came tonight? What a joy to be here and then to hear Mrs. Smith sing. God bless you, Mrs. Smith. Tony, you come on up now. And he's going to introduce the video, and then he's going to preach to us. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it.
God bless. I appreciate that. Well, my name is Tony. I'm my wife, Dee. Many of you met us this morning. We're out of Victory Baptist Church out of Milton, Florida, Victory Baptist Press. And we're on the road full time for the ministry. We print Bibles and John and Romans for missionaries and ministries around the world. There's no need for me to say a lot more about the video, but the video is going to introduce you to my family, about what we've been about for the last several years. And then you'll get to see what our presses are actively involved in doing, and maybe how you could play a role in doing what we do for missionaries around the world. God bless you. I hope this video speaks to your heart.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it.
Hello, we're Tony and Dee Smith, field reps for Victory Baptist Press, a ministry of the Victory Baptist Church out of Milton, Florida. Our press has been distributing whole Bibles and scripture portions since 1984. We believe that God has called us to be a part of providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, Isaiah 55:10. Our mission is to provide scripture for missionaries and ministries around the world at no charge. Dee and I were married in 1983, and throughout the years, God gave us four children. Those children were saved and are now grown up and married and have given us 13 grandchildren. They're faithfully serving the Lord in their local churches throughout the country. In 1981, when God called me to preach, I went into evangelism. Afterward, the Lord permitted me to pastor for over 24 years. Throughout those years, the Lord also enabled me to have the opportunity to teach in three different Bible colleges in our country. It was in 2017 that God called us to this ministry, where Tim Fuller has been the pastor there since 1994. During those years, our church has supported many missionaries, but it has also maintained a very strong missions emphasis in America and throughout the world with the printing ministry of the Victory Baptist Press.
The process of transforming clean white paper into the powerful printed Word of God is a complex one that begins with keying in the text. It is then transferred to a modern plate maker, which is far superior to the old darkroom process. These plates will contain the precious Word of God, which is about to be transferred to paper. The plates are printed, transported, prepared, and then installed on the press. The ink is then loaded and the paper roll mounted and threaded. After many checks by the staff, all systems are a go, and the complex mechanisms of the press begin the magnificent work of duplicating the very Word of God. Copy after copy is printed, and the Victory Baptist Press workers keep a watchful eye on the quality of each page. Thank you. The pages are folded into small portions called signatures. These must be assembled in the appropriate order in the next process. The signatures are then transported across the Victory Baptist Press shop to an area filled with volunteers. These faithful laborers stack, organize, and operate the machinery in the collating process. Many hands are needed to make this step work successfully. From the collating machine, the now complete Bible text must have a cover added. This takes place on the glue bindery. Now, with a beautiful and durable cover, the Bibles exit the bindery, where they'll be stacked and transported to the final three-blade trimmer. As they exit the trimmer, they are inspected, packed, taped, and stacked. As each project nears its end, boxes filled with the precious Word of God begin to add up and await shipment. Then the day comes when the newly printed material makes its way onto a truck and on the long journey to glorify God, fulfill the Great Commission, and change lives all around the world.
Over the years, we have seen millions of whole Bibles, New Testaments, John and Romans, other scripture portions printed and shipped to all 50 states in the United States, to about 50 foreign countries in about 20 different languages. To give you an idea of how the distribution side of this ministry works, we have partnered for several years with missionary Don Rich in Peru, South America. To date, we have sent him 100,000 whole Spanish Bibles, and he has distributed them to pastors and missionaries in all 9 Spanish-speaking countries in South America. All of that has been to no charge to the missionary or to any of the pastors and churches that those Bibles have been sent to. All of the Bibles that we print are 100% free of charge. To the glory of God, we have never had to make any charge for any of the scriptures that we print in the history of this ministry. A year or so ago, we were in Rwanda, East Africa, with missionary Tony Stark. Well, Stark had asked us to print 1,085,000 gospel cards with 14 salvation verses on the back of that card. Those cards right now are being distributed in Rwanda, Uganda, the Congo, South Sudan. In Rwanda, Brother Stark has an open door to the public school system. His plan is to give one of those cards to every student in those schools, and if they'll memorize all 14 verses, then to give them a whole Bible. Those are just a couple of examples of how we've been able to come alongside of a missionary, help supply them with scriptures for their ministry. How can you help? An 18-wheeler truckload of paper averages around $35,000. The big rolls of paper that you saw on the press averages around $1,100 per roll. By the time we have ink and cover stock and all the other materials in printing and shipping, we could have between $70,000 to $75,000 in a major project. Right now, it costs us an average of about $3 to print a quality-bound vinyl cover Bible and put it on the mission field. It's about 50 cents for a New Testament and about 25 cents for John Romans.
Amazing. The price to print and deliver a complete Bible to the mission field is about $3. The approximate price to print and deliver a John Romans to the mission field is about 25 cents. The approximate price to purchase a roll of paper is $1,150. Depending on the size of the Bible, somewhere between 600 to 800 Bibles can be printed, or 13,000 John and Romans. What portion might God have you to be a part of in distributing Bibles throughout the world? How can you help? Support Victory Baptist Press monthly through your church missions program with prayer and finances. How can you help? Give to one of our special printing projects. Every year we're involved in several large projects around the world and always have need for money there. The costs are staggering for the printing of God's Word. The gospel is free, but it costs a lot to get it out. How can you help? Take on the Smiths as they raise support for Bibles. D&R are fully invested in this, and we're on the road full-time raising support for paper in this great ministry. We have the privilege to go into churches where Dee will sing and I'll present the great needs for paper. From time to time, the opportunity presents itself to go to a foreign mission field to help lay the groundwork for the investments we make around the world in Bibles. Good stewardship is imperative with what God has entrusted our presses with. What a joy it is to see seed given to the sower and bread to the eater. Solomon said, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what shall be upon the earth." Would you consider supporting Tony and Dee Smith as field reps while they raise support for Victory Baptist Press? It is then that we, as an extended arm of your church, minister and provide seed to the sower and bread to the eater through your church and the Victory Baptist Press. Tonight with me and go to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you would please, Ecclesiastes. And again, I'm most grateful for this opportunity to be here with you folks today. Your pastor has been so kind and gracious. And certainly he and his wife are great ambassadors for your ministry here. And thank God for that. I'm going to be reading from Ecclesiastes 11. Here are just a few verses here. And springboard with a thought from the video tonight. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, and whether they both shall be alike good." Father, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in this place. And it's a joy for us to be able to be a part of your work and to meet new churches and people that are interested in the same causes that we are, using the same Bible that we do. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless tonight, this time that I have. Give me wisdom and let me be straight and to the point and get through, Lord, tonight in timely fashion. And I'll thank you for filling me for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. This chapter is going to begin tonight talking to those of us as believers about sowing the word of God, I do believe, upon the waters around the world. When you look at these verses here, it's going to give some arguments as to why some may say, "I don't want to do that," or some may say, "Yeah, I think that is a good thing to be involved in." Now, we as Americans, I know how we think. We want things right away. We're like J.G. Wentworth, "It's my money and I want it now." But the Lord's work's not always that way. His ways are not our ways and thoughts are not our thoughts. But here God promises that if we do something, after many days, we'll find it. It may take a while, but God has a way of letting it wash back ashore.
Certainly, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you've shown toward his name. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that we're to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do break through nor steal. And here God gives us a promise that if we do something, after many days, we'll find it, that which we have done. Now, I'm going to be very candid with you here tonight. In verse number 1, I find a commandment that's really perplexing to me. In fact, if I were to say, what's your opinion or your dissection of verse number 1? What does that mean? Cast thy bread upon the waters. Well, the word cast is a fishing term. I don't boast about being a fisherman, but it means to hurl or to launch or to put forth an effort with, you know, precision in mind. I do know that it's kind of funny to me how that, you know, a fisherman, you know, when you don't have a boat, you throw it out as far as you can. And then when you got a boat, it seems like you turn around and you throw it as close to the shore as you can. That never made sense quite to me. But he mentions here, not a suggestion, not to just fishermen, but it's a command. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Now, many commentators are divided about what God is talking about when he refers to bread. And I'll give you a couple of those. Well, one of them could be the bread of our labor. You know, we make money as individuals, or we get money, and we often refer to that as bread, of course. And what we make, we use it to buy food, to put bread on our table. And the money that we make, it represents us, our energies, and what we put forth, we're rewarded back from the Lord. It is God that gives us power to get, and he gives to us for our labors. I heard of a story of a couple got married, and the husband, they were newlyweds, and he said to his wife, he said, well, I'm going to tell you what, you don't make biscuits like Mama used to make. And she looked at him and said, well, you don't make dough like Daddy used to make either. And bread is that which we depend on. And, you know, we've got to have it. And money's just part of the processes of life. We understand that. The bread of our labor. Another thing is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus said, even of himself in John 6, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. And so if you interpret it either way, I think you're doing it justice, really. But when he says, cast thy bread upon the water, in this commandment he's saying, give them the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them that which you have been given. And give that to them and watch God bless you for it. As I break down this verse and think about this commandment, that makes me scratch my head and say, I'm not sure if I totally understand it. What does it mean to cast? Well, to cast is number one, it's an act of obedience. Your pastor hit on it this morning about how obedience is supreme in the Christian life and how it's very important for us as Christians. You know, by one man's obedience, many can be made righteous. By one man's disobedience, a lot of folk can be turned to do evil. And I'm just paraphrasing that. But the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, when Pharaoh stood before Moses, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And the spirit of Egypt always says, I'm not going to obey God. But for the Christian that's sensitive to the Lord, he's listening for God to speak to his heart. And I do believe when God says, cast your bread upon the water, he's saying, first of all, it's an act of obedience. There's another thing I believe that it is. It's an act of faith. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And anything that you and I ever do in life, if it doesn't have an element of faith in it, you can rest assured you're not going to be pleasing to the Lord. And God says, it may not compute to you when I tell you to cast your bread upon waters. Why, that doesn't even seem to make sense, because we're used to maybe sowing on ground. But God says, I want it to be sown on water. And whenever God speaks to a Christian's heart and they obey the Lord and cast thy bread upon the waters, it's an act of obedience, no doubt. But it's also an act of faith. They say, the Lord, I believe you spoke to my heart, and this is what I believe I ought to do. There's another thing that I believe it is. To cast is an act of sacrifice. You know, when he says, cast thy bread upon waters, it's like he's saying, send it to another place. Sacrifice it in a way you may never see where it actually went to. But in the case of here, he's talking about putting it upon the waters. You know, when I study the Old Testament, there's a lot of places in the Old Testament that God talks about making sacrifices. And I'll tell you, I'm glad that I'm a New Testament Christian. You know, some of those Old Testament sacrifices, they're very complex. In fact, you know, some of them, you know, you cut an animal and you put it on the altar and then you burn it. And boy, that sounds pretty rough. And you lay out wood or maybe you wash its inwards and maybe you burn its outwards. And maybe, you know, you take and pluck the feathers off of it and cast it into the ashes on one side of the altar. And I just now mentioned only Leviticus chapter number 1. And boy, there's a lot of sacrifices in the Old Testament. Boy, they can get, wow, man, I'm glad I'm not a part of that. And then there's a lot of laws that God has about offerings in the Old Testament. You know, when it came to unleavened bread, they had to do certain things in certain ways, whether it was the Passover, whether it was Pentecost, or it was the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Trumpets, whatever it was, each had its unique way of making the sacrifice that would please the Lord. Now, as a Christian, I believe that God has pretty well made it clear to us what he expects of us. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. So when it comes to sacrificing, one of them is I'm supposed to weekly, I do believe, upon the first day of the week, make the sacrifice of my tithes to my local church. You know, the preacher preaching to you tonight, I make no bones about it, live in a fishbowl anyway. We do tithe to our local church. But then there's offerings that we make, and many times those sacrifices are made to missions. And I notice here you support a lot of different missionaries and different works like that, and praise be to God for that. But God has a way of speaking to the Christian's heart about where and what and how he would have them to cast thy bread upon the waters. That word cast is also a mariner's term. You know, you get on a boat and the captain says, let's cast off and release the moorings and let's get this thing going. And you'll find over in the Old Testament, there's references to Solomon that once every 3 years, he had a navy of ships. And he would load them down with all sorts of gold. And he would give the commission to the men on the ships to take and disappear for 3 years. And when you came back, you better be bringing some goods, and you better have used the money wisely. And many times they came back with peacocks and apes and all sorts of things that Solomon had wanted. They had turned that money into something that was prosperous or helpful. In other words, they cast it upon the waters, and after many days, in ways they never dreamed, it came back to them. And many times in God's work, I find that God may speak to churches about doing corporate things as a whole body. Maybe in the area of casting the bread upon the water, the Word of God, for people to have it in places that have never had it. Now, what more could you and I be involved in as Christians that would be more valuable than giving the Word of God to somebody that does not have it? Wow. And I would not be a part of a church that would not be interested in doing things to help those that do not have the things that I've been blessed with. You see, freely we've received, freely we ought to give. And to whom much is given, much is required. And as believers, we ought to recognize God has smiled upon us as American Christians that, you know, we have a phone, you know, we have the Bible downloaded on our phone. We have a church Bible. We have a desk Bible. We have a car Bible. You know, if we're wearing blue clothes, we can bring a blue Bible. And I mean, whatever we want, we have quick access to it. We can go to Sam's or Costco, or we can go to the Dollar Tree. You can pretty well put your hands on a copy of the Word of God quite easy. But to think in lands abroad where there's people that they've never even gazed upon a copy of Holy Writ of God, it blows my mind. And I remember about 30-something years ago, my first trip to Mexico with the Bearing Precious Seed Ministry at that time, and went down there and I handed to an old man, he was 80-something years old, John and Romans. And I saw him sit down and he began to cry. And I said to Ron Winter, the missionary, I said, what's his problem? I was a kid preacher and I didn't understand a lot of things as I don't now as well. And he said to me, do you realize that man, for the first time ever in his life, 80-something years old, is holding his own copies of the Word of God, and his eyes, for the first time he can read, are now reading the Bible that is his. And boy, that made an impact upon me. And God wants us to be involved in casting bread upon waters. Sometimes it's done corporally. Sometimes it's done individually. Last year I was contacted by a man in Sevierville, Tennessee. And he said, Brother Smith, you were with us not long ago. And he said, this past week my son committed suicide. And boy, my heart went out to that dad thinking about what all he was going through as his son had taken his life. And he said, but Brother Smith, what I want to do is I want to honor the Lord with this. And we want to give some money to buy some rolls of paper in honor of my son and his life. And he did that. And sometimes individuals do things like that. They cast their bread up on the waters and they involve themselves in giving to God's causes. And for Dee and I, we're part of providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You see, the sowers are those workers on the mission field. And I shudder to think about a missionary somewhere that may not have access to the Bible to give to his people. Recently, a missionary was in another country, and he told us about being in the church. And he said in the back of the vestibule, they had a sign-up sheet not to clean the church or to vacuum the church or anything of that sort. But it was a sign-up sheet to get a page out of the pastor's Bible. And that congregation had one Bible, and they were tearing the pages out and giving it to the people to take home to memorize or to copy it. That's beyond my understanding as an American. Until I was in Houston, Texas about 3 years ago, and a missionary to Brazil walked up to me and said, Brother Smith, I'm ministering to the Portuguese people in Brazil, and he said, and I need some Bibles. He said, my people, they speak Portuguese, and I've got only one Bible, and I have a small congregation. And he says, but we can't get the Bible printed because the Trinitarian Bible Society owns rights to that Bible, and in order to print it, you have to pay a large copyright fee, oh, God forbid, and pay a large copyright fee for a one-time printing of it, and I can't get my hands on it. Could you folks help us? And around the world, there's missionaries and churches and ministries that maybe the preacher means well and the workers mean well, but they don't have access to the copies of the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And brethren, I want to remind us, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And if anybody ever gets saved, they're going to have the Word of God. And if anybody ever grows and maturizes and a church prospers and a city can be transformed, or a nation for that matter, it's going to come as a result of righteousness exalting that nation from the Word of God. And God using that Bible to change people's lives. And so there's that perplexing commandment. I say, well, okay, cast my bread upon the water. I think I know what you're telling me to do, Lord. There's a second thing I want you to notice in this, and that is our persistent concerns, because I'm just like you are. You know, I just don't run around throwing my money out. Now, I'm liberal with my giving, but I want to use prudence, and I want to be led of the Lord, and I don't want to do stupid. But if God speaks, then I'll just obey Him. And when it comes to giving, many times, in the Baptist church, we've got all these concerns, and they're just not very valid when you hold them up to the light of the Word of God. And sometimes we get concerned about how much we're doing. Number two, verse two there, give a portion to seven and also to eight. You know, sometimes we're concerned about how much. Well, we're doing a little and that's enough. Now, God says, I want you to give a portion to seven and also to eight. What's he saying there? I believe it's in what we call the aorist tense. that God is saying, I want you to give to seven, and then when you get through giving to seven, then go on and give to eight. And I believe he's inferring there, and then give to nine, and then give to ten. In other words, be very diligent and very diverse in your giving. Give a portion to seven. And sometimes we believers, we say, well, I'm giving to this cause through our church, or I'm giving to that, and there's just no more of a way for me to do any more. And when God says, cast your bread upon the waters, using the Bible as a dictionary on the Bible, the waters are no doubt people. Revelation 17, the waters where the whore sat as the people and kingdoms and tongues and nations. And Isaiah would say it like this, that the wicked are like the troubled sea. And sometimes we talk about the sea of humanity. And sometimes we look out and we say, well, we're doing our little four, our little five, and we don't need to do any more. No, God says, I want you to give a portion to seven and also to eight. And I don't want to read too much into this, but I do believe every word of God is pure, and every word of God has something to sustain itself by and to teach in it. And in the Bible, the word set, the number seven, is a number of completion. And in other words, God is saying, when you feel like you've done enough and you've completed all that you can do, well, the number eight is a number for new beginnings. It's like God is saying, then start all over. You can't outgive the Lord. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will remember him in times of trouble. And about the time I think that I can't do no more as a believer, God will speak to my heart and say to me, now let me enlarge your coast, and let me stretch forth your tent, and let me show you that you, number one, can't outgive me, and that I can use you greatly if you'll permit me to do so. Last year when the pandemic hit, I was telling your preacher earlier today, and to God be all glory, we came off the road and our calendar was blown up and we didn't have any places to go. And I'm like, oh my, no income. And you probably thought about various things like that too. Everybody's got their story of the pandemic. And my wife and I was in our motorhome at our home church. And we said, well, what are we going to do? And I told my wife, I said, well, let's do something that the Bible does not tell us to do, but I believe the Lord's speaking to my heart about it. I said, let's double our tithe and double our missions giving and double giving to Victory Baptist Press, which we do. And we did, and boy, our needs were so met during that time. In fact, we had some of our supporting churches to contact us and say, how can we help you during this difficult time? And I had to be very honest and say, pass it on to another missionary that has a greater need, because God is so meeting our need. In fact, I grew about 15 pounds last year. Every 30 minutes you're eating a new ding dong or popping a new Oreo in your mouth or wanting to get a Big Mac or something like that. And some people, you know, they just eat to live, but I live to eat, glory to God. And every year my clothes just get tighter and tighter. You're looking at a blessed man. And the only liberal thing about me where the Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat is I'm fat. But God has a way of blessing us in ways we never dreamed, does he not? And sometimes we look up to heaven and say, oh God, I can't do no more. And God says, are you kidding me? I am the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Can you outgive me? Can you do more than I can do for you? And brethren, if we're honest, we know the answer to that. And sometimes we're so concerned about the portions. Well, I'm doing enough. And we never do dream that God wants to do more. And sometimes, verse number four, we're concerned about the problems. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. We look up and we say, well, it's too windy right now. After all, we're in a pandemic, and things are tough. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. We look up and we see, well, there's a storm coming, and there's clouds on the horizon, and the politics is not good, and it looks like the Middle East is going crazy, and maybe I need to sit on this for a little bit. Now, brethren, I warned you this morning, I'm after your money. Because the money prints the Word of God. And I don't apologize one bit for God's work having great needs. I'll probably never tell you what any of my needs are, but when it comes to God's work, I am not ashamed to tell what God's work needs to get the job done. And sometimes we're so worried about this, that, and the other, and just say, well, this could happen, and that could happen. I know anything could happen. We understand that. But if you sit around and you observe the clouds and the storms and what could be's, you're never going to involve yourself in what's the most important thing, and that is to be faithful with what God has blessed you with. And boy, I tell you, I've learned over the years in traveling, you know, most churches are broke. Whether it be a big church or little church, it don't make any difference. I talk to the pastors, and boy, we're just barely getting by, but hey, God's meeting our needs, and you know, we don't have a lot of extra. But there's something else I've learned. We Americans, we ain't broke. You can pretend that you are, and you know, you're having this trouble, that trouble. But the truth of the matter is most of us have got money buttonholed somewhere. We've got it tucked away. And I'm going to tell you something. God knows exactly where it's at. And God has a way of getting it if we're not willing to let him have it. And I had a widow about a year or so ago. She contacted me. I was in West Virginia. And she said, Brother Smith, boy, my husband left me with some money. And she said, when you were in the church, the Lord spoke to me about getting some paper. And I said, well, Lord, I don't need to do that right now. But she said, the Lord told me to do something and buying some rolls of paper. And I have the means to do so. And she asked her pastor, and he told her to call me. That's what she did later on after we left. And she said, and I told the Lord, well, not now, Lord. I think I know better what my finances are like. She said, on Monday, my car tore up. And on Tuesday, the washer and dryer went out. And by Wednesday, I had a big doctor bill. And she said, by Thursday, I said, okay, Lord, I give up. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm willing to do it, you know. But if you sit around and you see a cloud coming or a storm coming, I say to you, you'll probably never do anything. It's kind of like the lady that walked up to me recently, and she said, well, if, and you know, she meant well. She says, if I win the lottery, I'm going to buy a lot of paper for Victory Baptist Press. And you know what? I smiled and I was kind to her, but the truth of the matter is she won't do that, even if she did win it. And the truth of the matter is we always talk about what we would do if. And God don't want us to live like that. God wants us to say, God has spoken to me and God has been good to me, and through my local church, I'm going to involve myself in casting bread upon the waters. Now, that's the persistent concerns we're often concerned about. And he says in verse number 5, as you know, it's not the way of the Spirit, nor have the bones do grow in the womb of her that's with a child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And the same way we look at a woman that is expecting, and we say, I wonder if this was the week that God put the fingers on that baby or cut those slits in the eyes. We don't know how the bones are growing in the womb of a woman that's with child. And God says, the same way you don't know that, you don't know what I'm trying to do. And many times we want to argue with the Lord when he's trying his best to use us. And a missionary will come in and present a need, or your pastor may tell about something, and we sit there, we've all done it, we wrestle with it, we say, no, I'm not going to involve myself in that. When maybe if we listen to the Lord and quit being so concerned about us and our flesh, and we would sow to the Spirit, we would of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The last thing I want you to notice here tonight is that's our personal commitment. Did you notice that he said, cast thy bread upon the waters? A personal commitment. Yours, not mine. You see, I can't tell you what to do. And many times we try to tell each other what to do. And there may be a proper place at times for things of that sort. But the truth of the matter is, I will only stand before the Lord to be given account for what I did with what God blessed me with. It was 4 years ago that I was teaching in a seminary down in Texas. And I began to say, I need to really slow things down. And the more I prayed about it, the more the Lord spoke to me that, no, there were some things that he wanted me to do for the remainder of my life, and that is go on the road for the Victory Baptist Press. And I had an income of where I was at, and I knew when I was going to get paid and how much I was going to get paid and all that. But I talked to my wife about what's going on, and boy, I tell you, I'm married right. Married out of my league, actually. And my wife certainly has always been a person of faith and never been one that wanted to hoard stuff. And we sat down, and one night we talked about how good God had been to us. We talked about our 4 children that were healthy, and 3 of them in ministry. And we talked about all them grandbabies. Every time the phone rings, somebody's having another baby. And those kids being healthy. We talked about how throughout the years, God had let us be in a church that told us about the the blood atonement and, you know, the eternal security of the believer and the Word of God being pure and you know, all these various doctrines that are so ingrained into us as Bible-believing Baptist believers. And as we sat there and talked, my wife said to me, she said, what is it God could ever ask us to do that was more than we could ever really do for Him? And we talked about how we owed God so much for all that He's ever done for us. And my wife said, we need to do something big. And I said, well, babe, I just did. I resigned my position. We're moving to Florida to go on the road. And I don't know where the income's going to come from. She says, no, I'm talking about a way of no retreat. I said, what are you talking about? She said, sell my couches and my chairs and my lamps. Let's get rid of everything till we have no way to go back. And the reason that we desired to do such a thing is because we honestly considered how much God had blessed us with. When I got married years ago, 39 years ago, I was 148 pounds soaking wet and full of bananas. My wife has now got two of me over the years. And my wife's gotten prettier over the years, and God has sure been good to this preacher. And there's nothing God could ever ask of me to do that would ever be too much. And we packed it all up, and we moved down to Florida. And when I got there, my pastor said to me, he said, well, Brother Smith, I want to tell you, you know, you don't have any income. I said, yes, sir, I know that. He said, you better get on the phone and start trying to get you some meetings. And so I got on the phone, I started making some calls, and I got me a meeting down around Fort Pierce, Florida, which is about an hour and a half north of Miami. I'd never been in a motorhome before, let alone drive one or own one or call it my home, as now we were starting to do. And so I got me that one meeting for that one day, and for that night in January coming back, I got another meeting around the Orlando area. And boy, I was fired up about it, but I only had so much money. We drive a motorhome, we get about 7 miles to a gallon on the road in diesel and everything. And so I told Dee, I said, we got to pray because this is a two-day trip and we're going to try to make the first day down there halfway. So I called ahead and got me a place and pulled up late that night. And the guy came out and he said, preacher, I'm sorry, I rented the place out. I didn't think he was going to show up. And I said, well, give me another place. He said, you don't understand. This is Gainesville, Florida, and there's no place to park an RV anywhere. Good luck on finding a place. And so I had to drive way north of Gainesville, and I used about a half tank of diesel that I didn't have. So next morning we got up, and I told my wife, I said, babe, we're going to be out of money, and I'm trying to make Fort Pierce. We're coming from Pensacola. That's the area we're in, almost in Alabama. And I said, nothing can go wrong. So we pulled out on the interstate, and four lanes of traffic on both sides of the road. We're not even moving. This was January, and it was hot in Florida, and I had to run the diesel and use about another half a tank of diesel that I didn't have. And we just sat there, come to find out a car had blown up and killed some people. And for about 4 hours, we did not even move on the Interstate 75 headed south. And as we sat there, my wife said, well, honey, what are we going to do? I said, well, let's do what we've always done. Let's pray. She says, here? I said, we're not moving. I said, so let's pray. And so I'm not an emotional person, but I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I've brought a good woman out on the road here and I've meant well what I'm doing, but I'm about broke on my first trip out and I don't know how we're going to make it, Lord. And I only know three people in this state. That's the two preachers, Lord, I'm going to see and my pastor, but I'm not going to call my pastor, Lord. I need you. And I said, I don't know how you're going to do it stuck on an interstate, but I'm going to be out of diesel before long here and what a bad testimony. I need $100. Amen. We sat there a few minutes, and my wife said, there's a lady beside us in the car, and she's waving, and she's crying. And I'm thinking, you're sitting way up, you know, in a motorhome. And I'm thinking, oh, my, what did I do, bumper or something like that? And so I looked over there, and this lady's waving at me. She's got all these diamonds on her hand. She's driving a Lexus automobile. Not the kind of person to be waving us down in a motorhome. My wife said, what'd I do? I said, well, open the door. Let's see what she wants. And so my wife opened the door. And the lady looked up at me and she was crying. She had something in her hand. She says, if you'll let me use your bathroom, I'll give you this $100 bill. Please, I need a bathroom. And I said, well, good night. Come on up in here. She wasn't moving either. So she came on up. I stuck my hand out to say hello and she didn't say a word. She bolted back to that bathroom and slammed that door. Man, she had to go. And she came out, and she had this $100 in her hand. And my wife had said, when she's back here, she said, there's $100 we just asked God to give us. And she came out, she goes, oh, I was going to have an ultrasound over here in Lake City, Florida, about an hour and a half away. And she said, I've been drinking all this dye stuff all night. And she said, I'm pregnant. And she says, I was sitting here thinking, Jesus, I got a potty. And if I don't get a potty, Lord, I can't get out in the interstate here and use it in front of everybody. And down there, there was nothing but sand and, you know, alligators and stuff like that on the side of the road. And so she said, I said, Jesus, I got to have a bathroom. If you'll give me a bathroom, I'll give to whoever $100. And she said, sir, when I said amen, I looked up and there's your motorhome and you got a bathroom. You need to take this $100. I said, I can't do that, ma'am. She said, well, what are y'all about? So I told her, I gave her one of my tracts, and she says, well, I'll be praying for you. We're Independent Baptists too. And she said, we go to Friendship Baptist Church over here at Lake City. And she said, well, God bless y'all. She said, please. I said, nope. God bless you, ma'am. You've been a blessing to us today. So she gets in her car, and I'm acting like, you know, I'm all that in a bag of chips. And my wife, we wave like that. And my wife said, what is wrong with you preachers? You ask God to give you something, and he brings it to your door, and you're too proud to take it. I'll never understand you guys. Y'all have lost your brain. And, boy, I tell you, our wives can keep our feet, you know, on humble ground. And about that time, I opened up my app on my phone, and I looked down, and that morning I didn't have any money in my bank account. And I looked, and there was $1,000 in my bank account. So what is that? I don't know about you. That don't happen every day for me. And so I called my home church. I said, what's going on? They said, we don't know. Somebody stopped by here a day or so ago and wanted to put some money in your account. We told them how to do it. I guess they did. And I said, glory to God, they did. $1,000. Hallelujah. You say, what'd you do, Brother Smith? I pulled that thing over and I filled it up with diesel and I went straight and got me a rack of ribs, man. I was hungry. I tell you, that stuff can stress you out. And but boy, a preacher's got to eat too, you know. So I got on down the road. The first church took us on for support. The second church, we came on back home. And I went to our mailbox and opened up a card from the Friendship Baptist Church in Lake City, Florida. 93 people had signed a card thanking me for letting one of their members use the potty in the middle of Interstate 75. And under it was another card. And it's from Carrie Quinn, the lady we had helped. And she says, I cannot tell you how much I've been using this as a tool to say, God will hear you and help you wherever you are. And she said, when I told my husband what y'all had done, he said, you put that money in a card, and in that card was $100 that she wanted to send us. Now, why do I say all that for? Here's the summation of my message tonight. God says, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days thou shalt find it. And for years as a Christian, I had come to the place that I thought, and I didn't mean for it to be this way, but I had gotten this stinking thinking in my mind that life was only about me. And it was there on that interstate highway that the Lord reminded me afresh and anew that it ain't about me. It's about that book right there. And you show me a preacher or a church or a Christian or a family that wants to get that book into the lives of people and cast their bread upon waters, and I'll show you a God that'll finance every mile of your journey because he's exalted this word above his name, and he loves it. What role will you play in these end times of being a good steward of what God's blessed you with through your local church and casting your bread upon waters? Heavenly Father, I pray you'll use the message here tonight. Thank you for this open door of utterance. Thank you for the man of God being so faithful throughout all these years. Thank you for the privilege to be in a good church tonight. And I pray that you'll not let these words be fallen to the wayside. But I pray that we all meet it with a challenge of faith, that we'd say, Lord, you've been good to me, and you've blessed me, and we prove the sincerity of our love by doing by faith what you want us to do. Now, Lord, if there's somebody here and they're not tithing, I do believe, and I believe this preacher feels the same, their tithes ought to be first and foremost. But I do know there are times that, Lord, as a believer, you say to me, I want you to do something special, and I want you to prove me that you love me. And you show me and have always, over and over again, that I find more coming back than I ever cast upon the waters. I love you tonight. You're a merciful, kind, friendly, and I could go on and on, God. And I love you and I thank you for that. Bless the invitation and give the pastor wisdom. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen, Pastor.
I believe with all my heart that God has sent this family to us and has spoken to Tina and I's heart. In fact, halfway through the message, you just cost me some money. Tina said, I think we ought to do this, and we will do that. I want you to stand. If God has spoken to your heart tonight and challenge you to get involved in